Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
In Exodus chapter 20, God gave us 10 great laws. They hold the keys to overcoming life's greatest challenges. Next on Daily in the Word, we'll study how to overcome the greatest challenges of our lives with Dr. Paul Chappell. Stay with us. Often the most difficult and trying challenges of daily life are due to the fact that we're working against God's natural laws of life. We're working against the way He designed life to function rather than submitting to His laws. The keys to overcoming the greatest challenges we face are often found in submitting to God's ways. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study how to overcome the greatest challenges of life by keeping God's 10 great laws from Exodus chapter 20. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and we come to you with the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about our ministry, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you can subscribe to Dr. Chappell's daily devotion. You can also download Daily in the Word to take with you on your computer or iPod and listen to at your convenience. Here's now Pastor Paul Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges.
We all know that the family is under attack as never before. The devil hates Christian homes and marriages. The devil delights in causing teenagers to rebel against their parents. And everywhere we turn, we see television, magazines, and movies of all kinds degrading the role of a mother and a father, uplifting the sinful lifestyles of this day. And yet the Word of God teaches that we are to honor father and mother, and we are to walk in unity as Christian families. Well, today on Daily in the Word, we're going to learn how to keep family honor alive. Let's go to the Word of God now.
It's not just a message saying to the children, honor your parents. It's a message saying to us as parents, live honorably. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. And we must give a godly example to our children so that they will want to honor us. But sometimes parents' actions are wrong. But I want to say this, God is a sovereign, holy God. And He loves you, and He makes no mistakes. And the fact of the matter is, you may have difficulties with your parents, even as a grown child. You may have parents who disagree with your faith. I mean, you would think they would be thrilled you bring your children to Sunday school, but maybe it convicts them. Maybe they just don't like it, and maybe they don't encourage your faith. You may have had parents who break their word. You may have parents who think nothing of going to Las Vegas and spending $2,000 gambling, but they think you're nuts to give to the church. You may have parents who have had a moral failure, or who have left you, or who have broken your heart. The stories in the press in the past few weeks have been beyond my comprehension. Family member upon family member killing and maiming one another. And yes, there are difficulties. There were difficult families in the Bible. I think about one father by the name of Saul. He was a man with wild mood swings. He was a man who got angry in a quick moment. And he had a son named Jonathan, who remained a great and godly man in his life, despite having an angry father. In fact, 1 Samuel 20:33 says, "And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him." How many of you would say, if a father throws a spear at his son, he has a little anger problem? Saul had an anger problem, but Jonathan had a sweet spirit. I'm just saying, it's possible, even when there's been a problem in the home, to keep a sweet spirit. Let me tell you how to do that, two quick ways. First of all, remember to forgive your parents. Remember to forgive them. Ephesians 4:32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now someone says, well, my dad doesn't deserve forgiveness. And maybe he doesn't on your scale. But let me ask you a question. Let's do some Christianity 101. Did you deserve to be forgiven by Jesus Christ? Did you or didn't you? Because we are all sinners and we fall of the glory of God. We fall short of God's glory. You didn't get forgiven because you were Mr. Perfect. Forgiveness is not given because it's deserved. It is given based upon the grace of God. And when God's grace is at work in your heart, you can forgive some pretty unlovely things. You see, my feelings are not as important as my obedience. My feelings about the matter are not as important as my being obedient. And God tells me to forgive. Now, you may need to go to the Lord and ask God to forgive you for your unforgiveness and for your bitterness over the years. Maybe you need to ask God to help you see the reason your parents failed or there was abuse is because they never had modeling in their lives and they came from a long line of abusive situations. And by the way, many of you are first generation Christians and you sit here today saying, by the grace of God, the chain of abuse and the chain of difficulty has been broken and we will treat our children differently because we have Jesus in our lives. That is awesome. But you'll have the same problems in your family if you're bitter at your parents. So you must determine in your life that you would make things right in your own heart before an Almighty God. Remember to forgive. Secondly, remember to control your thoughts. You see, the devil wants you to think about those past failures all the time. He wants you to think about those hurts. He'll throw them up in your face constantly. But 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Satan wants you to relive those wounds. He wants you to relive those hurts, and he'll throw them into your face over and over again. But I want to tell you something. They are under the blood, and they need to be put behind you so that you can go forward for God. Listen, don't ruin your future by living in your past. Don't keep dwelling on the fact that your dad or your mom didn't do what you wanted. You have a whole life to live for God. And so sometimes when a parent's actions have been wrong, it's difficult but not impossible to honor them through the forgiveness of Christ. Secondly, when your parents' advice is wrong. Now what do you do when their advice is wrong? And I'm speaking here more to the adults right now. Once again, I challenge you to remember what it means to honor. It means to give weight to. You are not a slave to obey as a 45-year-old man, but you're not to just brush it off. You're not to treat them like they are nobody. When you go to their home at Thanksgiving or Christmas, you're to still love and encourage them. Don't compromise who you are in Christ, but be honoring towards your parents. Now, let me say this. First of all, when it comes to parental relationships, a child should always obey their parents unless it is a situation of moral sin. Look it, the only time I would ever counsel a woman to leave the home in marital counseling is when she's being beaten or physically abused. By the way, if that happens to a woman in this church, she'll be counseled that way, and your counseling might not be real friendly. I don't have a lot of tolerance for men who hit their wives. By the way, my hope is that there would be a restoration to that marriage and that they can get back together. But what I'm saying is, I would not counsel someone to stay in imminent danger. We want to get that situation taken care of. By the same token, I would never counsel a child who has a perverted father to obey that father and enjoy and obey that father and endure that father's continual sexual perversion or advances just because he's the father. A child does not have to obey if it involves sin and wicked lifestyle. That child needs to be protected. And that man, whether he's a congressman or a janitor, needs to go to jail. See? So sometimes people take the Bible to an extreme. We talk about wives submitting to their husbands and they think that's some kind of dictatorship. It's a beautiful thing in the context of Scripture. We talk about children obeying their parents and people say, well, yeah, they probably think a child should obey. What about these child that are being taken advantage of? We don't believe that should be the case. But on the other hand, in most situations, a child, even if it's not the best advice, needs to learn to obey. Let me give you an example. My wife was raised up in a non-Christian home. And as she was raised up in that home, one day some people came by from a church, knocked on her door, and asked her if she wanted to ride the bus to Sunday school. She rode a bus to Sunday school. She heard about Jesus for the first time. She went back to her home, and a few days later, someone came to her home called a soul winner, knocked on her door, and sat down at the table and opened up the Bible and led her to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, she got involved in her youth group. She started growing as a Christian. She was so excited about being saved. And she came to her folks when she was about 18 years old and said, I want to go to a Bible college so that I could be a Christian school teacher or pastor's wife or something like that. By the way, thank God she became a pastor's wife. Amen to that one. Well, she had scholarships to San Jose State and other places. Her folks said, why would you go to Bible college? We can go to one of these other colleges, make a lot more money. What kind of a young girl would go to Bible college? Mostly her dad said that. We don't want you to go to a Bible college. And so Terry obeyed her parents. She saw the authority of her father. She didn't agree with it. But she obeyed her father's authority. She went to the secular school. She stayed faithful in church. She stayed faithful in her college and career group. She worked hard. She had a good attitude. She honored her parents. And 2 years later, her dad came to her and said, you're such a good daughter. You've been such a blessing to our family. If you want to go to that Bible college, you go ahead and go to that Bible college. And because she came 2 years later, we met. And we were married. And we're serving God today. Why? Because she honored her mother and father. Now, you may not always agree, but when you're living under that roof, the rule of thumb is, children, obey your parents, unless it's an abusive, perverted situation, there may need intervention in that point. Secondly, an adult should show respect to their parents. An adult should show respect to their parents. Proverbs 24:6 says, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. It doesn't mean you're going to take an unsafe parent's terrible advice to go against God, but it doesn't mean you're going to brush them off. You're going to hear what they have to say, but you're going to seek counsel from God's word and from godly people, and you're going to do what God wants you to do. What I'm saying is this. There sometimes are problems with showing honor to unsaved or ungodly parents, but those problems with forgiveness and with prayer and with patience, those problems in most cases can be worked out if we will follow the word of God, you see. So the principle of giving honor is clearly taught. The problems of showing honor can be overcome. And thirdly and finally this morning, the priority of teaching honor. We've got to get back to the place in our homes where we teach our children by our example and by our word how to be honorable young people. Parents should create an environment that would cause our children to desire to fulfill this commandment. I don't know about you. I want my parents to want, or my children to want to honor me. I want it to be easy for them to honor me. I want them to have that desire in their heart. So how can we do that? A couple of quick ways. First of all, we must remember our responsibility to train these children. We must remember our responsibility to train the children. We are to give them a good reflection of God as we provide shelter, as we teach them, as we train them. We want them to see God in us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, how are we going to train them? Well, we must first of all train them with wisdom. That's why we're here in church today. We're trying to get God's wisdom so we can do a better job. That's why we have 35 classes in this church. Many of them for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and couples and people that are parenting. Why? We want to get wisdom for this thing of raising up our children for God in these 35 adult classes. We need wisdom because every child is different. Every child has a different temperament, a different manner. I heard about a mother that was at home trying to get dinner ready, and she couldn't get the ketchup out of the bottle, and she's kind of hitting that bottle and trying to get the ketchup out. Right then the phone rang. Her 4-year-old answered the phone, and when he answered the phone, he said, "Mommy, it's the pastor on the phone." She said, "I can't come to the phone right now. Tell him I'll call back." Little 4-year-old said, "Pastor, Mommy can't come to the phone right now. She's hitting the bottle." Boy, sometimes children can create a little situation for us. We need wisdom with them in training them up, but we must train with wisdom. Secondly, we must train with authority. I don't mean some harsh authoritarianism where we're just yelling and screaming at our kids all the time, but listen very carefully. Parents are to be the authority in the home. If you are emotionally dependent on your child's acceptance, you will make unwise choices. I see it every day. Parents are just, "Oh, isn't that just so sweet? Ho, ho." It is not sweet when they're having a bad attitude. They just rip someone's hair out of their head. What is sweet about that? And if we need that type of acceptance, we'll make wrong choices. Look it. If I had to choose between being my children's father or their friend, I would choose to be their father. They only have one. Now, I want to be their friend, but God put me in their life to set boundaries. What time you're going to come in, what you're going to wear, what you're not going to wear, where you're going to hang out, what you're going to watch, what you're going to play with. Why? God put me in their life to be a father. And many times in this permissive day, parents are letting that go, and God wants us to train them with authority. Oh, it's so important. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." Notice that verse. "But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame." Look, just let them hang out around the neighborhood. Let them come in just straight to the room and whatever they do in that little altar called their computer. You have no idea who their friends are, no idea what their entertainment habits are. You leave them to themselves, they will bring you shame. It's a Bible promise. Mark it down. God says you're to set some boundaries. You're to be involved in giving some oversight. And I want you to know this, that a properly functioning family is the birthplace for respect of authority. You can ask the police officers in this church. They've seen it as well. They see the children out at 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning. And I know they ask the same question I ask. Where are the parents of these children? Why aren't they getting involved? You see, God put the parents there to set that authority. And then thirdly, train with love. You see, authority without love will always lead to imbalance. Now, sometimes as Christians, we can make this mistake. We can get all excited about the commandments and the authority, but we forget the love. And as I've often said in family seminars, rules without relationships breeds rebellion. So we've got to have the mix of the authority with the love, speaking the truth in love. And our children should know we will never stop loving them. But let me tell you this. If you think loving your children is giving them everything they want, you're wrong. That is a wrong representation of God in their lives. God has not given you everything you want. Sometimes a child needs to hear us say no. Look, it's not just about a trip to Disneyland or a new car or a new bike. And if you think you can buy them off, you're missing the point. That's not what love is about. Love is about time. Love is about prayer. Love is about kneeling at the bedside or opening the Bible or showing up spontaneously at their lunch hour and taking them to lunch or writing them a note or doing whatever it is God puts on your heart. You cannot buy your children's love and respect. We must remember our responsibility to train our children. We must remember our responsibility to pray for our children. I pray for wisdom, and you do too. James 1:5, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." I pray for my children. I challenge you to pray for your children. Look at moms and dads, and may I say grandmas and grandpas, pray for the children. I have a collection of letters from my grandmother, and she's up in her 90s now, my only living grandparent. And she has sent me letters. I think I have 2 shoeboxes full of letters in the last 20 years from her. It's amazing. Well, it's 22 degrees here in Colorado. we got a light skiff of snow, and I just want you to know I prayed for you this morning, and here's a verse I read, and all these things. Over and over and over again. You know what she's doing? She knows she's getting ready to see the Lord, but every chance she gets, she's just throwing a little more scripture, throwing a little more prayer. She's just investing a little more into the life of her grandson. It's never too late to pray for your children. Look, when we get to heaven someday, it's probably going to amaze me why God blessed this church, and I have a feeling a lot of it's going to be the prayers of a grandmother that God was answering and God was blessing. Pray for your children. Well, notice the promise of this verse, and we're done. Notice this in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, obviously, someone who obeys their parent is probably going to live longer for very practical reasons. For example, teenagers, there is a reason your parents have said, do not play in the street. They want your days to be prolonged. But it's not just meaning that. Because remember a few weeks ago, the children of Israel had just come out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, and now they're beginning their journey. They're going on to the promised land. And God is telling them, hey, if you want this great time in your national history to continue, if you want to keep on being blessed, if you want that land that has been promised, if you want to see the days of this blessing go on and on and on, then don't forget, it's all about the family. If you keep the family thing right, the rest is going to turn out right. Now, we live in the greatest land in all the world, right here in the United States of America. I'm proud of our military might, our national resources, our capitalism. People are trying to copy it all over the world, including China, and it works. But wait a minute. If we don't get back to honor in the family, I don't care how strong the economy or how many missiles we have, this country is crumbling down. Because God says, if you want your days to be long, don't forget the family. Don't forget to honor mother and father. Don't forget this principle. And I close with this. Parents, are you the type of a parent that a child wants to honor? Children, are you adults and young children giving honor in the way God wants you to? And I'll tell you where it all begins, and listen carefully. It all begins with Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us about a man who was such an honorable man. His name was Timothy. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Timothy was an honorable man because he had an honorable mother who taught him how to be saved. She taught him that Jesus died for his sin. She taught him that Jesus Christ was the Savior. And Timothy accepted Jesus as his Savior. And he was made wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God. And if you're here today and you don't have a Savior, you do not have Jesus in your heart, then you cannot have a Christian home. You cannot lead with honor until Jesus Christ is present in your heart and in your home. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I urge you today to let the honor begin by receiving Christ as Savior. Because there's nothing really honorable about us, but He's an honorable and a worthy God. And when He comes into us, He can change families and He can make all the difference if we will trust Him as our Savior.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We invite you to find out more about our ministry. Let us know that our ministry is touching your life when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find many resources to help you and encourage you in your own spiritual growth. Before we wrap up the program, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
One of my favorite verses is 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Friend, if you do not know that you have eternal life, right now you can receive Christ as your Savior. Just admit to the Lord that you know you are a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and that you believe He, as the Son of God, shed His blood for your sin and rose again for your justification. And then ask Him to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and make you His child. When you do that by faith, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you can know that you have everlasting life.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, if you'd like more information about how to trust Christ as Savior, or if you've made that decision during this program, we would love to rejoice with you and send you some resources to help you grow in your Christian life. We would also like to send you a study guide for the current series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. This study guide comes with outlines complete for every lesson in this series. It'll be a great resource for you to refer back to or to pass along to a friend. Again, it's the study guide for Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. We'd like to send it to you this month as a gift when you call or write to us. By the way, we do appreciate if you'd consider a gift to the Ministry of Striving Together. Your gift will help us stay on this station and continue ministering the Word of God. You can contribute to our ministry by visiting dailyintheword.org and clicking on the tab that says Donate. To contact us toll-free and request this resource, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, call us at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748, or visit us at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you and know that our program is touching your life on a daily basis. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.